Do you know, I've been waiting for a chance to preach about Peter. I think, like many of us, there's a love of Peter because he's so normal, because he gets it wrong sometimes. I know when I went through my process of discernment and going into college and all of that sort of thing, they found out that I'd got ADHD. I didn't know that, but I just wonder if that's why I relate to Peter. I wonder if Peter, if he'd been around today, might have had a little bit of a diagnosis of ADHD, because he's the one that wanted to go in there and do it. Bear that in mind as you listen today. So, I found this the other day. Thank you for indulging me. I've studied business leadership for much of my career, and the cartoon just made me giggle. You've got to have something to give away to say who you are. So he went and got all this stuff, and then Jesus said, "No, actually, I want you to be called Peter now. What's he going to do with all these cards?" Hang on to that. There is a serious point, because as we get to the heart of the passage today, we're dealing with a man who's been given one of the greatest missions that there ever was, to be the foundation and the rock on which Jesus would build his church. But he totally messed it up. For some, the question, "Do you love me?" was the best question they could have asked another person in life, because it meant that they received a positive answer. Yes! It meant that they had acceptance, they had companionship, they had a sense of worth. I'm home, I belong to someone. Gave them a hope. But for some, this was the worst question that they'd ever been asked, or that they'd ever asked another person, because the answer they got back was, "Not in the way you want me to." It leaves scars then, and produces feelings of insecurity and loneliness. Maybe a broken heart. But if anything I say this morning touches a raw nerve, then remember, God is here today to show you, to teach you, to remind you how wide, how deep, and how long his love is for you. If you want to take personal notes, you might want to. Get your phones out now. You want to make notes, because there's times in here that we're going to reflect. Times we're going to ask questions of ourselves this morning. The talk is about leaving here today with the assurance that whatever you've done, whatever you've said, whatever you've thought, whatever you've pushed into your past, whatever you've hidden under the things that you have in this world, whatever you've blamed other people for, whatever you've joked about, because it's easier to laugh than deal with the pain, whatever dark secret is hidden, Jesus still wants you with him. And he still wants you to be part of his mission, and he still loves you. He just loves you. So the question we start today is not, do you believe in Jesus? The question is, do you love me? As it says up there, Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came to have a relationship with you. He has a purpose and a destiny for your life. So let's look at the background of today's reading. Peter and the disciples had witnessed the arrest, trial, crucifixion, burial, the empty tomb of their master Jesus. They were drained of emotion, bereft of his leadership. They didn't know what to do. Their minds were in shock at what seemed unimaginable. And yet, they had been eyewitnesses to a truth that would change the world. In this state, Jesus told them to wait. Wait? That's not in Peter's comprehension. I'm sure he tried for a short while. But remember, this Peter, in Matthew 14, verse 29... was the one that jumped out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking the water and wanted to walk with him. This Peter, in John 13, verse 17, was the one who wanted the whole bath, not just washing his feet. Peter, in John 18, verse 10, was the one who probably cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that came to arrest his beloved Jesus. He was impulsive. Sit and wait. For Peter? Nah. He was off. If Jesus was gone, then he needed to keep busy and he needed to go and get all this pent-up energy out of him. So where did he go? Lake Galilee. Back to his roots. He returned to his comfort zone. Fishing. The natural leader in him urging the rest of the disciples, come on, we've got to go and get fish. He didn't want to be alone in his thoughts. Along this stretch of water was where Jesus had first called him and predicted that he would change from Simon to Peter, the rock on which the church was going to be built. Maybe he'd gone to find some old business cards with his old fisherman's name on, Simon. He certainly didn't feel like a church could be built on his leadership at this time. So many memories he would have been thinking about on these shores. I look at my Facebook sometimes and I see memories of my friends and family come up. Most of the days is a photo of a loved one with words like, I wish you were still here to talk to me. You were the one that I really, really trusted that knew me. Or this. If you could sit on this bench and chat for 1 hour with anyone from the past or present, who would it be? Peter, if benches were on by the Sea of Galilee, I'm sure would have been thinking that he would want just one more hour with Jesus. Why? Because that incessant crowing of a cockerel that was plaguing him. Everywhere he went, every time he tried to get away, every time he tried to sleep, every time he tried to distract himself, cock-a-doodle-doo! That enormous screech that reminded him that even after he had walked with Jesus and seen his miraculous work, he had denied that he ever knew him. Truly, I tell you, Jesus declared, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. To top it all, it seemed that the one and only thing that he was ever good at, he couldn't do it anymore. His nets were empty. He couldn't get it right. He was a failure. And then he looks up and he sees someone on the shore. I'm not going to go into the miracle that happened next, but suffice it to say that Jesus saw the desperation in the disciples' eyes and wanted to bless them, so he gave them the nets to overflowing. One of the disciples, probably John, recognised the person on the shore. It's the Lord! I love this. Even before they recognised who was on the shore, one of the disciples recognises the act of grace that Jesus shows. They could see someone cooking breakfast for them. The practical way in which Jesus knew what a person needed. They'd become used to this of their master. That rainbow in the sky when we see it. If we need a sign for something. That person who turns up on the doorstep just at the point that we need it. That text that comes to us when we've had enough. Sometimes we just know God is communicating with us even before we recognise him. For Peter, it meant that he could get his chance to say sorry and beg for forgiveness. He would get his chance to sit on that bench. He'd be able to fall on his knees and explain why he did what he did. He couldn't wait. So in a flash, splash, in that water again. But when he reached the shore, before he could open his mouth, the smell of charcoal would have pierced his heart. The same smell that Jesus was using to bless Peter with a hearty breakfast was the same smell he remembered as he warmed himself in that courtyard when he denied his Saviour. That stupid cockerel. I think we must all have got one of those things that we push back into our minds that is triggered with a sight or a smell or a piece of music or a poem. The hurt of losing somebody, the brokenness of somebody hurting us, the sorrow of letting someone else down. Something that we cannot forgive ourselves for. Or something that we can't forgive someone else for because they did it to us. Something which we wish Jesus could see. But that thing is stopping us from taking our next step because we feel worthless or unworthy. But you see, ever practical, Jesus had offered Peter a meal. He didn't just want to sort out Peter's spiritual needs. He wanted to sort out his practical needs too. In a minute, we will be partaking in a meal. Jesus left behind a meal for us. I wonder if Peter was able to eat the meal. We do not know, but remember, he was in turmoil. Jesus knows this and pulls him aside and gently interrupts his thoughts. Simon, do you love me more than these? Not, do you believe in me? Simon, do you love me more than these? In that place where Jesus had first changed Simon to Peter, Jesus starts afresh with him. He gives him that second chance. By using his old name, Jesus is saying, I know what you've done. And I know you think you've blown it. But do you love me? And not just do you love me, but do you love me more than these? Some think Jesus is referring to the other disciples. But I just wonder whether Jesus was pointing to the boat and the nets and the lake, everything in Peter's comfortable zone. Do you love me more than your comfortable zone? You see, sometimes we want to retreat into our own comfort zones. Mine's my bed, or chocolate, or a glass of wine. And it's okay if that's to rejuvenate you, if that's to get you going again, if that's to rest and wait. But it's not if it's to hide from what Jesus is wanting to renew in me. For some, it's total escape into alcohol, drugs, a relationship that's no good, a constant need for reassurance, money, a need to control others, work. I could go on. And if I haven't listed yours, it doesn't mean it's not there. Jesus still sees it, and he wants you to be free from it. But you see, if we retreat into those things, and yes, I'm speaking to myself as much as anyone else when I preach this, it means that I don't trust that Jesus loves me enough to forgive what I have done. Or loves me enough to heal what I've been through. If I don't let Jesus in, it means I don't trust that he loves me enough to forgive what I've done or loves me enough to heal what I've been through. When Jesus asked this question the first time, he says, asked Peter, do you love me despite all that you have done and all that you have had done to you? I want you to imagine for a minute that Jesus is standing just here. Let's imagine there is no one else in this room but him and you. Let's imagine that whatever doubts, whatever baggage, whatever questions you have, Jesus stands here and says, do you love me? What's the first thing that comes to mind? But it's not over. So Jesus says, using all the hurt you've been through and the mistakes that you've made, feed my lambs. In other words, use what you have been through to care for the weak and the vulnerable believers. The lambs, go and search for those who are feeling like you have done before and bring them back because I love them too. These are my favourites at the moment. Maya Angelou says, do the best you can until you know better, and then, when you know better, do better. There's just another one there if you want to read that through. Because you see, I can almost see Peter shrugging and saying, yep, okay, Lord, I can do that. But then he says, Simon, do you truly love me? A second time. I just told you, Lord, that I love you. I just said I love you and I'm willing to let everything else go. I love you. Reflect again. Why would Jesus ask you a second time? The answer will be different for every one of us. For me, Jesus asked me a second time because the first time I said to him, yes, I love you to give up all of these. But I did say, well, accept that bit. Maybe I'll just keep that little bit. That's mine. Maybe that bit's a bit too hard. But I wasn't giving up everything to love him. We learnt a song recently that says, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion, your way is better. We've all learnt different stories growing up. We've all been told different things growing up about how we should behave as a Christian. Do you love me? Is what he asks. When Jesus came and died on the cross that day, it was to show us that God was not some far off, distant figure. He doesn't worry about all the things that we worry about. He just wants us to love him. And each other. Why is this so difficult? He had seen this that his sheep needed him here on earth. So he became one of us in order to guide us into relationship with him. Once he was living with each one of us, we could then love the next person with the help of the Holy Spirit. Then feed my sheep, was the second reply. These lambs that you've managed to bring into the fold, those that have grown up, they still need care. They will continue to get it wrong. They will still need to be discipled. They still need your leadership. I'm calling you, Simon Peter, to never give up on anyone, including yourself. Can you do that? Even people who are different from you. The author of an amazing book, The Wounded Healer, puts it like this. To pray, to listen to the voice of the one who calls us the beloved, is to learn that the voice excludes no one. And so for a third time, Simon, do you love me? At this repetition, the memory of the cockerel, I think, may have clicked a response in Peter. John tells us that Peter was hurt, but I wonder if what John saw was the hurt being replaced with an overwhelming forgiveness. The sound of the cockerel had been blown away by Jesus' third time of asking. It had no power over him anymore. He was released from his past. If he could love Jesus and feed his sheep, no matter who or what they'd done, because he understood the depths of how much Jesus had forgiven him for denying him, then he was free. In rabbinical teaching methods, if you say something once, it's important. But if you say something three times, it's vital. It's unquestionable. Jesus was not just asking Peter to look after the believers. He was wiping away the memory of Peter's threefold denial. And so when Jesus asks us a third time, Richard, Gloria, Dale, Peter, Rod. Put your own name in the blank. Do you love me? He's saying, do you want my forgiveness? Do you want to start again? Do you want to be part of my mission? Do you want to be with me in my Father's house? Do you want to go deeper into your relationship with me? Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Not he might, he will. But you delight yourself in the Lord first. So what is your desire? Today, 19th of November 2023, what is your desire? He says, do you love me more than these? Do you truly love me? Do you love me? So the musicians are going to come and start playing soon. I was going to say, if God was saying to you in your heart, yeah, I want to take that next step, I want to move on, I want to commit that thing and get rid of it. I was going to ask you to stand, but I'm not going to. And the reason I'm not going to is because very shortly we're going to be coming up to the table. So during this worship time, just reflect. What is that thing? Is it for the first time you're saying, okay, Jesus, I really don't know who you are that well, but I'm going to give you a go. And I'm tentatively going to say, I love you. Is it, I've been waiting years and 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 years to follow my calling that you've given me, but I've never had the opportunity. I messed up. Take that next step. Just on your own. But as you come up and receive the meal, like Peter going for that meal on the beach, just remember you're coming to love. You're coming to love. Prayer ministry is open. So there'll be people in the two rooms and there'll be someone down here, I'm sure. If you want to commit that with somebody, then come and pray. If you want to find me and grab me and say, I need to pray, I'll pray. Richard will pray. Mike will pray. There's people here. But don't leave this place with any doubt that whatever you've done, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants to be in relationship with you. Let's pray. Father God, I ask you to come and fill this place. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister to us? In whatever way we need. Would you show us with physical signs that you are here? Would you heal today? Would you give us the boldness today to say, I love you, Lord, and I'm willing to go wherever you want me, and I'm willing to accept whoever you want me to accept. I love you, Lord.